Our scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, the last chapter of 1 Thessalonians 5. It's on page 1799 in your pew Bible. The title, just before verse 12, says, Final Instructions. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This morning is a bit of a rarity, and that was the catechism sermon. Looking back in my records, I haven't preached a distinctly catechism sermon in some time. In our reading from Lord's Day 45, which is backed up by the scriptural reading from 1 Thessalonians, we are given some direction, some instruction, some information on prayer. The Catechism specifically teaches us why, how, and what we should pray. It doesn't mention the when. But Paul does that in more than one place. When? Continually. It's pretty broad. Some Christian traditions maintain a strict schedule of when to pray, as do Jews and Muslims. But Christians in the Reformed tradition like ours, well, we too have our customs of personal and family prayer at mealtime, at bedtime. But outside of official worship services, Reformed churches don't tend to have set prayer times. Our Reformed ancestors didn't specify any special calls to prayer meetings, not because they wanted the people in the church to pray less. They didn't call special times for prayer because they wanted people to pray more. In the New Testament, we're called again and again to pray without ceasing, to pray continually, to do everything in prayer, and to give thanks in all circumstances. The Apostle Paul tells us about his own practice of constant prayer, and he fully expects every other Christian to do the same thing. By continual prayer, the Bible means that we should live in such communion with God that prayer, either spoken or unspoken, is always easy and natural. It's just an outflowing. Speaking to God and hearing God should come as naturally as breathing out and breathing in. That's our goal in relationship with God. Why do we pray? Well, the Catechism lists three reasons. You could probably think of more. We pray because God wants it. Because prayer is the best of our good works. And because God says that his gifts can only really be had through prayer. So first, prayer is a response. It's a response to God. Prayer is our answer. See, too often we have the mindset that when we pray, we are asking. But when we pray, we are responding to God. We don't throw our words up to heaven and wait to see if something comes back. What we're doing, that's supposed to be our attitude, right? We're supposed to be humble in prayer because we are giving an expected reply to the one who has called us first. Prayer is answering God, "Here I am, Lord, ready to do your will." Prayer is required. We're not supposed to just pray when we feel like it. So we pray first of all because God expects it. Prayer is obedience. And what's interesting is through prayer we learn obedience. Prayer is the most important part of gratitude, says the Catechism, because it's the most direct way that we pour out our love and adoration for the God who redeemed us through his Savior, through his Son. Offering our love to him in prayer is the fulfillment of everything that God requires of you. It's worth more to God than any amount of money or service to be in true communion with him. In Romans 12, we read that he wants us as living sacrifices. Right? God doesn't want something, he wants you. And we must pray because we will only receive when we ask. Right? That was a song we sang, right? Seek ye first, knock. God is sovereign. God is totally sovereign. He's totally free to do whatever he wants. There is no power outside of him that can force him to do or not to do. Right? We can't make God give anything. Yet God has ordained that we need to pray before we can receive. When we ask in faith, we will receive. When we seek, we will find. When we knock, it will be opened. If we lack anything, the logical question is that we didn't ask for it. James says in the first chapter of his letter, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. And at the end, towards the end of the letter, in chapter 4, he says, far too often the simple truth is that you do not have because you do not ask God. I've never met a person, including myself, who's living life without any issues, without any problems. But many people plead their inability or the problem, like an inability to resist temptation. They say, I just can't do it. Yet they've never asked God for the power to resist a temptation. Or they don't have a steady faith, or they don't know how to cheer people up. I can't do that ministry. Yet they've never asked God for the power to do that ministry. You say you can't speak clearly about Christ. Have you ever asked for the gift? Or is it easier just to say, I can't do it? We do not have unless we ask. Having taught us why we should pray, the Catechism teaches us how we're to approach the throne of God. And three things are necessary. We need to be praying to the God of the Bible. We must do so. We must pray with honesty and humility, and we need to be praying in Jesus' name. Or put another way, we have to know God, we have to know ourselves, and we have to know Jesus. If we know God as revealed in his word, if we know ourselves by looking honestly at ourselves, and we know Jesus by coming to accept Jesus, that's the basis for powerful prayer. We need to know God. God is revealed in the Bible. So right away, prayer is intimately linked with devotional reading of your Bible. God reveals himself through his word. So if we want to know God, we have to look at where he has revealed himself. Right? When we're praying to God, our prayer has to reflect the fact that we know God. Right? If we read the Bible, we know what God is like. We know what God expects. We know what God forbids. We know what he says no to. Right? So asking God for help in committing a crime is nonsense. And God's not going to bless us if we're openly living in defiance of his will. When we pray, our words and lives must show that we know to whom it is we are speaking. Right? Even children know. Children know that there are certain things that their parents are not going to give, no matter how they ask. Right? I see a few younger people here, and even some of us older ones can remember that. And your friend might say, well, did you ask your mom and dad? I'm not even going to bother. I know what the answer is. Well, why would you treat God differently? Our parents tend to know what is good for us. They're not going to give us something just because we ask. And God's the same. We ought to know our Heavenly Father. Ephesians 5 verse 7 says, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We should not only know what he will not give. If we read God's word, we'll also learn to understand what he longs to give us. His will is to make us like Jesus. He says if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And although to pray is to ask, prayer is not the way that we get what we want. Rather, through prayer, through honest prayer, we become what God wants us to be. That's why we have to know ourselves as well as knowing God. To know what it is to be children of God. You don't learn what it is to be a child of God by looking at the average North American, but by looking at the Son. Right? We're adopted into his family. It's Jesus. He's the one who gave us the words. He's the one who teaches us to pray. Not so that we can have the power to turn stone into bread, but so that we may glorify the Father. Not only do we have to know God, not only do we have to know ourselves, we have to know Jesus. I mean, kind of tongue-in-cheek, prayer is a lot like what some people say finding a good job is. It's not what you know, it's who you know. You can know everything about salvation. You can know everything about sin. It's about who you know. You got to know Jesus and accept him. You know Jesus. So that's the why and the how. Now the what. So what should you pray for? Well, quite simply, the Catechism says everything you need. Our problem is distinguishing the difference between what I need and what I want. Our society has reduced us to consumers. We've pretty much built a society on directing, controlling, reading perceived needs. Actually changing wants into needs. And they try to manipulate us. They just keep trying to create new needs, higher demands. It's a vicious circle of never-ending greed. We cannot tie our prayers into that process. Prayer is not about getting more. It's about giving more of yourself. Most of us know what we want. I bet you everybody here could tell me what they want. but we don't all know what we need. Unless we read God's word, we have very little insight into our own basic needs. But there is one who knows exactly what you need. Jesus says your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. That doesn't mean you don't have to ask. But it does mean that you can't try to lead him down the wrong path. You can't talk God into giving something you don't need. Once some people brought a paralyzed man to Jesus, this man could not get up for most of his wants or his needs. When he was lying there at the feet of Jesus, his real needs were evident to everyone. He needed legs that worked. At least that's what you would think. That man needed healing. So the greatest healer ever said, "Your sins are forgiven." Didn't say a word about the guy's legs. Christ identified and provided for his greatest need. So we don't tell God our needs in order to inform him of something he doesn't know. God knows and God cares. But for some reason, he wants us to tell him. He wants us to hear, he wants to hear that we understand what our real needs are. Because God's more interested in your salvation than you are. So ultimately, prayer isn't a search for things. It's a search for communion. As Reverend Kuivenhoven says in his commentary, we cannot come closer to God than when in our sighing for him, we taste his sorrow for us. And in our seeking for him, we meet God seeking us. Answered prayer is communion. We are led into communion by prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the gift of prayer, for including us in the conversation. God, keep us faithful in learning about you through the reading of your word and being honest when we look at ourselves. And God, we want Jesus. Amen.